Good morning. So I am not the only speaker today. We each have 45-minute messages. So don't know what your Father's Day plans are, but they're about to be complicated. Just kidding. All right. So with that being said, that was my dad joke, and I'm done with that one. However, I have some more jokes, and they're they're about myself, which is even better. So let me read some to you. This is from my son, who is currently, this is like his Father's Day thing. It's from his teacher. That's why it's laminated. It's going to last forever. And this is his characteristics of me, the attributes that I have. The first one, he says, my daddy is 10 years old. 10 years old. I think that's because 10 is the highest number he can think of, and 10 is good. Because, in context, this is the next thing, he weighs 10 pounds and is 5 feet tall. So, there you go. The next one is, he loves to cook grilled cheese sandwich, which is not far from the truth because that's the only thing I can't cook. So, and he likes to clean the playroom, he says. Then the next one says, daddy always tells me to clean up my room. He's got it already, and he's not even a teen. All right, his favorite song is Everything is Awesome. That's according to him, which is, if you don't know that song, that's good. And then the last one that I'll share with you is the teacher asked him, if we could go on a trip, he would go, and then my son writes, to animal adventure and work. So there you go. So that's basically the gist of my life. So he's not too far off from the truth. Speaking of the truth, let's turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. That's where we'll be today. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Boasting about your father is the title of my message. And before we become confused, I'm not talking about your earthly father. I'm talking about your heavenly father. There's lots of things that our fathers have done that we can boast about and take pride in. But the thing that we should take pride in the most is who our Heavenly Father is and the characteristics that He exudes. He's not just 10 pounds and 5 feet tall, right? He's so much more. He's an awesome God. He's one that the Bible describes and still doesn't do enough justice until we see Him and we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him face to face. Amen. So as this message, I'm still trying to figure it out for myself as a father, the idea of boasting about God instead of what we bring to the table as fathers or as people. There are lots of times where I've had to say and admit my faults. I'm sorry, son. Daddy was wrong. I was wrong this way. I didn't cook your grilled cheese sandwich the right way. No. Something more than that. But daddy was wrong as far as how he talked to you or as far as what he did. Will you forgive me? And those are important things that we as fathers need to accept, that we're not perfect. But we do serve and we do love a perfect father, God the Father, who cares for us. Let's read in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 what it says. It says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast in their wisdom, or the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let this one who boasts, boast in this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness or mercy, justice and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Incredible verses here. And when we look at these, I look at the three things that God calls out to Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel, because in context, these verses are talking about how Israel was aligning themselves with foreign countries that were wicked, and they were placing their trust and their confidence in treaties of pagan nations. And God is calling Jeremiah to tell Israel, if they do not repent of the worldliness, that there's going to become judgment. That's what Lamentations is all about, right? The judgment that came because they did not repent. Instead, they continue to make treaties with these nations and become like these pagan nations instead of a priesthood of believers that God had called them in Exodus. D.L. Moody says about families, a man ought to live so that everybody knows he is a Christian. Okay, that makes sense. A man ought to live so that everybody knows that he is a Christian. And this is what he further adds further. And most of all, his family ought to know as well. A man ought to know and ought to live that everybody knows he is a Christian. And most of all, his family ought to know. And sometimes, brothers, sometimes, church, beloved, our family doesn't know. There's a quote that says, family is the place you go when you're done, that you've stopped and you just want to unplug and unwind. And beloved, that's where it should start in our ministry. If Pastor Jim had preached that message last week talking about inevitable discipline, it starts with the family. It starts with the family of God. Not just in this room here today, we're able to enjoy this and able to enjoy the word. It starts with the family. Families should know that we are Christians by our love. Not only that, but boasting. This idea of what does boasting mean? Well, boasting defined, one author puts it this way. He puts it as pride. Pride is when sinful human beings aspire to the status and position of God and refuse to acknowledge their dependence on Him. Pride, let me read that quote one more time. Pride is when sinful human beings aspire to the status and position of God and refuse to acknowledge their dependence on Him. This is seen in three ways in this verse, in verse 23 of Jeremiah chapter 9. This is, first of all, seen in wisdom. God is fine if you think that you are a wise guy or that you have wisdom, that you have experience, that you have knowledge and practice. But when you boast in that as your source of truth, as your source of hope, and as your source of light, that's what you bring to the table, instead of boasting about God and how He is the author of wisdom, that boasting is evil. Not only that, but strength. That's something I've never been able to boast about. But strength, athletic prowess, or what you're able to do, your abilities. Some people can boast in their skills that they bring to the table. And as much as you are fearfully and wonderfully made, as it says in Psalm 139, and you may be strong, and you may be skilled, you do not boast in those things alone. And that's something we as men love to do, right? Not only that, but riches. Don't boast in your riches. For some of us, we have been gifted by God to have riches. And even if you don't think you're rich today, considering that 40% of the world still does not have clean drinking water and does not have electricity, should make us feel rich. Don't let the rich boast in their riches. What should we be boasting in? It says, but let the one who boasts boast in this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. C.S. Lewis comments about these verses. He says, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you can never see something that is above you. That is why it says in James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How many of us are being proud today? And the reason why we're frustrated with God is because of the source of our own pride. We don't think we need help. We don't think we need, let alone God's help, because we are wise, we are strong, or we think we are rich. God is exceedingly far above those things. And not only that, He doesn't focus on those things, but rather He describes Himself in three characteristics, right? Those three characteristics are mercy or kindness, justice and righteousness. Mercy is this idea of holding back from what you truly deserve. It is holding that negative punishment that you truly deserve. Justice, that is something our world is craving for right now, but can only be found in God alone. The idea that the wrong shall be made right again, that they shall be someone... someone shall be brought to justice. That is one of the seminal questions of the Bible, right? Why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? all the way from the beginning. Why do the wicked prosper? But there is coming a day. When that day of the Lord comes, the wicked shall pay. They know their end. Until that day comes, we must have faith in God. We can't just have faith in the court systems. We can't just have faith in someone actually identifying this cover-up or reconciliation happening. The ultimate and seminal reconciliation that needs to happen is when the day of the Lord comes and justice is brought upon the wicked. And those that have faith in God, they will be delivered. That's our hope. That's our trust that we need to have. And righteousness is the last one. Righteousness, it should point back to His holiness, who He is, that He cannot be compared to anything or anyone. Proverbs 27:21 says it this way, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but people are tested by what they praise." What are we praising? What are we boasting in today? As much as God may have gifted you with skills and ability and resources that you may have, we're not saying that you should abandon all those things and go live like a monk. But what the Bible is clearly teaching us is that we cannot find that as our source of hope and identity. Because when those things are taken away, what will we have hope in? We need to have hope in God. We need to have hope that justice will come. And that we're not on the bad end of that receiving justice, right? That we're on the good end, that we've shown that we've had faith in God. That we are righteous in our dealings with each other and in our walk with God. And that we have extended mercy to people who do not deserve it. God has extended mercy to us. Amen. We did not deserve the gospel, but we have it. And not only did He withhold that judgment of eternal damnation in a place called the lake of fire. He withheld that, which is incredible as an act of mercy. But He gave us a positive aspect of grace, that we should be called His children. And fathers, the greatest gift that you can have today is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to walk in Him, to understand His great love for you, that He is the Father that cannot be compared to any earthly father. As I've looked at this, I'm fortunate to have a father that I aspire to be like. But he is only a hint of that goodness of the Father's love that is shown to us. As we as fathers who believe in Christ, and as we try to be an example and a hint of the goodness that the Heavenly Father has in the dealings with our children or with our spouse, may it be that we do not boast in our wisdom. We do not boast in our strength. We do not boast in our riches, but we boast in God's mercy, God's justice, and God's righteousness. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you that it is applicable just as it was thousands of years ago, as it is today. Because you are the same, Lord. We thank you for that, that there is no variation or shadow of turning, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And until that day comes where justice is rendered, and it may not be the justice that we think of, but Lord, do you know what that justice looks like based on your holiness and your mercy and your kindness? Lord, until that day comes, Lord, help us to be about your business. Help us to realize that we as fathers should take this role seriously. Because you yourself call yourself a father. So, Lord, help us to mimic that. Help us to imitate that. We're not going to be great at it because we're not you. But, Lord, help us to realize that by your grace and truth working in our lives, Lord, you have called us to be fathers to children, to our children, but also to those that may not have fathers in this culture. Lord, help us as a church also to continue to trust in that day. We echo the words of John in Revelation, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come." In Jesus' name, amen.